would like to acknowledge my particular talk is on the constraints on water use efficiency or drought tolerant maize. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Steve Evett, Wenwei Zhu, and Robert Schwartz. And also the financial support from the Ogallala Aquifer Program. I guess I really should have said examples of stress tolerance, because drought is just one stress. Tolerance to larger plant densities, trying to maintain yield over a range of environments, decreased plant variability, limited reduction in kernel number. This is just kind of goes on and on. These are just a few examples. One of the things that I looked at, Patrizio Grassini, whom I think is here, I was found very interesting. He developed a boundary analysis approach to where you try to see what the upper limit to any kind of cropping system is, and that way you can understand perhaps the reasons why you didn't achieve that particular limit. It's great that Neil, I'm just following, said, well, you did steal my thunder. I knew you would. So anyway, it recognizes that there are many different things, and everybody's environment is different. I personally think that, and at least in my particular case, our environment is probably the leading restriction for maize growth and production. So the objectives of this research were to develop a boundary function for maize using the data. Of course, boundary functions are primarily developed from ET and from yield. In our particular case of bushland, we have a bit of a distinct advantage on measuring ET. We have weighing lysimeters. In this particular case, I have a series of 48 lysimeters, which I'll describe earlier. What am I talking about? This is what the soil plant environment research facility looks like. You can see, hopefully you can see sort of there on the right-hand side, you can see that there's individual lysimeters. I have four different soil types. They contain either silt loam, clay loam, sandy loam, or fine sand. It's also, they're weighing lysimeters, and I also have a rain shelter. What I was doing was testing a commercial available. We go back to the drought-tolerant hybrids. One of them is more recently released, the Aquamax series. I used the variety or hybrid 1151HR, and also an experimental one that was developed by a corn breeder out of Lubbock. My planting density was 8 plants per meter square, and then I had not full irrigation, but almost full irrigation. In large part, doing irrigation research, we have learned that you really don't need 100% ET in most cases to produce a very good yield. As a matter of fact, if you do 100% replacement of ET, you're probably applying a little bit too much water. Because I know I've got myself into trouble by doing that, because what I ended up doing was feeding soil water evaporation and not the crop. And I did use the crop coefficient approach. The crop coefficients were developed using our large weighing lysimeters at bushland. Now, my particular regression analysis, I sent it off to, I read Patrizio's stuff, and quite truthfully, I couldn't understand a single thing how he developed his particular model. So I sent it off to our area statistician, who said, oh, by the way, SAS has a great program called QuantReg. That does exactly that. It develops that boundary. And the ideas behind it is that it develops an upper limit where X number of points, 95%, 90% of the points are below that line. And, of course, the line itself represents, when it's related to ET on the bottom and yield on the y-axis, represents water use efficiency, such that the slope of the line is supposedly maximum water use efficiency. And in my particular case, it turned out to be the slope was 2.49 kilograms per meter cubed. Now, my data set is interesting in that, I don't know where the pointer is. Oh, here it is. My data set is interesting because it contains a multi-year set of data. The dark points down here at the bottom are from the 90s. And the light points are from 2012 and on. And What you can see down here, and it really develops, these are all, again, from my weighing of my centimeters. These are all measured ET points. But down here at the bottom, it represents low plant densities, much more irrigation water stress. And up here at the top, you can see is from, these are the more modern hybrids, in which the last 2013 and 2014 are the ones clustered here along the line. Going back to the QuantReg analysis, what you can see here is there's 2 points. There's the 90% and the 95%, but I chose the 90th because one of the criteria that you have to use is which has the smallest confidence intervals. And quite truthfully, the 90th quantile had much more narrow confidence intervals than the 95%. So that's the one that I have used. And you can see that some of the great highest points, again, were at the higher plant densities. These are from Robert's plots in 2014, which environmentally was a really good year. And he also had a pretty high planting density. So there is certainly an implication that the crops are becoming, or the hybrids are becoming much more tolerant of plant density, even though we really haven't changed the irrigation that much. Okay, what we were looking about, back to that, again, what we're talking about is why aren't everything up, are the points not at that upper line? Well, of course, there's many different factors. And in this particular case, 2012 seems to have been a really bad year for a lot of people all over the United States. In our particular area, it was low, low rainfall, high, high temperatures, always, of course, in our particular case, at the wrong time. So you can see the difference between the yields from 2012 to 2013, about, 75%? You can see it goes across the board, affecting everything from kernel mass to number of kernels per ear, and certainly the water use efficiency. But look at the ET. Really is not that much difference. Of course, it's a huge impact on yield. And of course, as I mentioned, what my interest is at my research facility, of course, it is the soil plant environment research facility. And I have always been very interested in how soil does impact that. What you can see that it really, this is averaged across hybrid and irrigation treatment and everything. You can see soil, though, did not have any impact on grain yield, or biomass, or some on number of kernels per ear, but certainly water use efficiency. And why is that? It's because of the difference in the ET. And again, these are technically all the soils receive the same amount of water, but you can see, and this is something that classically happens to me in doing my research with the fine sand, is that the ET or from the fine sand is always considerably lower than the ET from the clay loam or the sandy loam. Now, this effect, there was a bit of a difference over here, not a bit, a significant differences. Again, declining from the fine textured soils to the coarser textured soils, the sands. And in consequence, you know, without, again, no reduction or differences in grain yield, yet there is a big difference in water use efficiency. So I really didn't do anything with the grain yield, but what I did was change the ET, which is always something to be thought about. Because when you're looking at water use efficiency, what are you really seeing? Are you looking at any kind of really truly difference between the grain yields, or are you just looking at differences in ET for whatever reason? Sorry, they can't hear me. Now, my differences in hybrids was very interesting. Unfortunately, the experimental hybrid really just didn't have what it took to hold up against the Aquamax. You can see that for the same, this is something that I found very interesting as well. Even though it used more water, it certainly did not produce more grain, the experimental. And it did this both times. And the fact that the Aquamax could actually use less water and produce more grain is a very interesting result. And again, you see it again, here we go, and with the impact on the water use efficiency. Again, in this case, it's the opposite of what you think. More water, less grain, and it really impacted water use efficiency. This is another aspect that we look at. All of our weighing lysimeters have neutron access tubes, and so we monitor the changes in soil water content. And you can see this again with in comparing the I-50 irrigation treatment. There is really no significant difference between the hybrids on soil water content, but you can see that the Aquamax could produce much more yield than the Texas experimental variety. This is especially true, you know, in the I-50 irrigation treatment. On the I-80 treatment, it was the same results, but the Aquamax used considerably less water, but again, produced more grain. And of course, the ultimate result was the water use efficiency was significantly different between the two hybrids. Again, note that this is the sandy loam. This is another thing that I've noted about certain crops and soil interactions. This red line is the so-called permanent wilting point. You can see that corn in the sandy loam can use water beyond the permanent wilting point considerably, much more than the permanent wilting point. But in the clay loam, to continue with that thought, you see it doesn't do it. It has to, it doesn't, I guess, have the osmotics to be able to deal with the much tighter soil of the clay loam. And you can see that the clay loam also greatly hurt the yield, especially in the more dry land or the lesser irrigated crop, especially hurt the yield in the clay loam soil. And of course, that is a result that we are quite familiar with in the Great Plains, or the Southern Great Plains, is that non-irrigated corn is not feasible in 99.9% of the years. This year, we would have been able to do great because we've had two times the amount of water this year than we normally have. So you can see that there is a soil type and hybrid interaction going on here that's significant. And it really has to, and it's really impacted by the soil texture. One of the reviewers of my particular paper suggested this is a way to sort of better quantify how the environment impacted my results, and created what he called this a crop water stress index. Well, my particular crop water stress index is basically using infrared thermometers, but I will just call it a stress index. And what you can see here, what it is this the relationship between the ET of the crop and the reference ET. And this was during the period that it's basically one of the most critical for crop growth, for crop reproduction, is the time from silking through early reproductive period. So I averaged the ET and ETO during this period and plotted it against grain yield and kernels per ear. You can see that the Aquamax variety was able to maintain much greater yield and also kernel numbers per ear as the stress level increased. What this really is, when you're looking at these negative numbers, it merely means that the ET was much greater than the reference ETO. In many environments, maybe that's not considered to be very feasible, but it certainly is in ours. And you can see that it consistently would, and this is in 2012, which was considerably, that was the harsh year. And so what you're seeing now is that, and this is worrisome to me, because what we're happening here is that the crop is using far more water than it needs to out of soil. It's got the water, and all these ones where that you can see that it's using much more water than the reference ETO. That's from the I-80 irrigation treatment, the more irrigated treatment. But you can also see that the experimental hybrid started using water before the Aquamax hybrid did. So it was able to back off, I guess, and try to control its transpiration. Because this is, of course, during full cover, and hopefully soil water evaporation is not greatly impacting ET at that particular time. Though it can, certainly in our environment, especially as arid as it is, and you have a wet soil, you're gonna get soil water evaporation no matter what. Of course, you can see everything has shifted over now, and there's fewer ones that where the ET exceeded the ETO, but you can see the same effect that, again, the hybrid, the experimental hybrid started again evaporating ET before the Aquamax did. What I haven't talked about is this particular thing. You can see that the Aquamax variety was able to maintain greater numbers of kernels per ear as stress increased. So it did it in both years, in both 2012 and 2013. In conclusion, you can see what are the constraints on water use efficiency in our environment. Again, the environmental conditions. Certainly, there was great differences in breeding, and soil texture did have an impact, but mostly it was in the more limited irrigation treatment. The water use efficiency did have significant differences, and it tended to decline from the ranking of the highest water use efficiency in the sand down to the clay loam. And in whether it got to that maximum water use efficiency, the one replicate, most of it, got kind of close, 2.31 kilograms per cubic meter. But certainly it implies that we have still a long way to go in trying to improve our water use efficiency based on this particular kind of analysis. Again, you can see my lysimeters here a little bit more clearly. They have the different soil types that are randomly located in there. Thank you.
So we'll finish up early, so we have 7 minutes for discussion, Patricia.
You mean comparing Aquamax with the best commercial hybrid out there? Yeah. Well, I'm sure it'd be very, the comparisons would change. The performance of the Aquamax would probably not change. And what we have done, one of the reasons why I picked that particular variety is that there has been variety trials or hybrid trials done by our Texas A&M partners in trying to identify the best hybrids out there. And the Aquamax ones were very much among the highest ones. But then again, I really wonder, as everybody has talked about, it varies from year to year. And it'd be very difficult for me to say how comparative that would be. Of course, I'm still wondering, my particular values, Patricio's values, 3 kilograms per cubic meter for that water use efficiency line, if I remember right, or that was your, anyway, it's a little bit lower when he, depends on how he calculates his ET.
Y'all
had, but also I'm also at 0% grain moisture content. So mine would be naturally a little bit lower. I did that just because I got myself so darn confused as to when I was using, because technically, according to Terry, water use efficiency should be at 0% grain. That's what Terry Howe. Should be at 0% grain moisture content. So I backed everything off and started all over and just came up with this one. So it's relative. But, those variety trials, I'm sure it'd be very different. I remember a long time ago, I sent some corn over to China, and they grew it and compared it to their corn, and it was just night and day. The stuff from the United States looked like junk, and the stuff that was developed in China for China looked great. So I know that, I imagine the big seed companies, they developed their products for each location. And so I wish I could give you a more definitive answer. I can't predict what would happen. I've been impressed with the Aquamax variety. But I don't know if it's really truly the yield. If it was from the trials that they had among the leaders of what can be done with corn in the panhandle. Because we have a really high stress environment. Very high stress. Unlike you guys over in Nebraska and Kansas. And
we have another question here. What's your name again?
Joshua.
Joshua.
We really get excited about the infrastructure that you guys have with landline centers. But given the reticence from funding agencies to invest, you know, very substantial resources in landline centers, were you guys ever able to look at a relationship between the calculations of ET in those individual cells of the lysimeter and the potential to measure ET using tools like a neutron rate?
I published a paper on it.
I haven't read it.
The probe works well. I talked about Robert's data. That's what he used. He did not use, he didn't have that many data points, but that's what he used as the neutron probe. We do quite well with the soil water balance method at Bushland. And Steve Evett has made a career big time over that kind of stuff, you know, based on what the but yeah, again, one of the things that we have to do is to it's like everything. It's like taking gravimetric samples. You got to have, to feel comfortable with it, you have to have a lot of samples, you know, neutron probe measurements around in the field, fitting on your field. And one of the limitations of my particular facility is, again, think about it. I'm working with an area in yields that are 3/4 of a meter by a meter, and the depth of the profile is 2.3 meters. So I'm a very small, not necessarily the most representative thing as to what's going on at the field. But the neutron probe does quite well. If it's calibrated.
Another question. We have 3 more minutes for discussion.
The higher or lower ET in the fine sand, is that due to drier source?
Right. I didn't put that number in there. I've had so many presentations. It is amazing to me when I first started out, not first started out, and what I tend to do is try to be fair to the soils and put them all at the same soil water content, plant available soil water content, so I can really see the hydraulic properties of the soil. So I would bring the, you know, what we would consider to be pre-plant irrigation, and I kept thinking after 30 days, where the heck did that water go in the Pullman, in the clay loam? And it turns out, you know, the Pullman will, I put, say, 150 millimeters in the soil to try to get everything up to content. After 30 days, probably half or more of that's gone to soil water evaporation due to the porosity of the soil. And so it just goes down significantly. You know, the Pullman pumps it out. The Ulysses, the silt loam will pump it out, but less than the Pullman. And then the sandy loam, and then there's the Vingo, maybe, you know, 1/4 or less of the water is gone as compared to the Pullman of the clay loam. It's just amazing to me. And pre-plant irrigation in our environment and that soil is nuts since we have, you know, we have a finite water supply. But, yeah, and so, you know, that's what's impacting the ET, and that's not even being any use to anything, not even being used, of any use to the crop. I've just lost it to evaporation. It drains. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it goes away. I mean, I subtract it from the ET. That's my part of my calculation. But still, the sand is doing well. I mean, I'd had no respect for the sand. But I guess I'm growing hydroponically out there, and I only irrigate it once a week.
We'll take one more question.
I did a mulch study a long time ago, in fact, truthfully, I don't remember, and it was on corn. And, of course, it's one of those things, ultimately, you're going to get the same ET, ultimately, seasonally. because all it is, it's just not, evaporating as rapidly, but the crop will use it. So, yeah, it's a very interesting interaction. Right. Mm-hmm.